Hello, welcome to your scatter group. I'm Pastor Steve. Glad you've tuned in today and are in your group with this fourth session of our scatter groups here in season two. We have about just maybe 3 months left of these scatter groups. So be committed, stay faithful, and keep participating. You'll continue to learn and grow and develop good friendships and also know the Lord in a greater way. The next several weeks, there's training sessions for Vacation Bible School and getting ready for the school year and Awana and other ministries. So stay tuned for your specific ministry that you are assisting in and serving in. Also, we have some teen events and youth events coming up soon, and then also some church-wide events as well. And you can see behind me the beautiful landscaping that we have been blessed with. There's the baseball field, and you may see a groundhog pop up now and again then in the background. It's kind of hard to see, but anyway, he's been digging holes everywhere, so I've been looking out for him. We're in the book of 1 Samuel, and we're in chapter 22 once again for the last several verses of this chapter. And I'm going to talk to you about cause and effect. And so before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for this time to gather, to fellowship, to worship, to open the scriptures, to study, and to pray together. We pray that you would deepen our relationships with one another and with you, that we would know you and that we could be more like you in our walk, in our interaction with others, and in our lives. We ask you to bless each scatter group that's going on right now. Thank you for all the hosts and those who are serving in this way. We pray for your blessing in our church and our church family. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I remember hearing about a cartoon with Charlie Brown, you know, the Peanuts cartoon. And sometimes we're like this. We don't want to take responsibility, or we see a cause and effect that may or may not really be there. Peppermint Patty was talking to Charlie Brown and said, "Guess what, Chuck? The first day of school and I got sent to the principal's office. And it's your fault, Chuck." He said, "My fault? How could it be my fault? I wasn't even there. Why did you say... And why do you say that everything's my fault?" She said, "You're my friend, aren't you, Chuck? You should have been a better influence on me." Sometimes there is a cause and effect by the people that we hang out with, for sure. But taking responsibility is an important part of the Christian life. And also, think about cause and effect. There is something about the cause and the effect. And I want to encourage you with this interesting statement. Whatever your cause, let the effect be your service to and for the Lord. Whatever your cause, let it affect your service to the Lord. Now, I'm saying that in a positive way. Whatever cause, whatever circumstance, whatever situation you find yourself in, let that be used by the Lord to cause you to have the effect to serve the Lord, not to walk away from God or to stop serving the Lord, but to prioritize him in your life. And so cause and effect. Our passage here is 1 Samuel 22. Notice in verse 20. "And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abathar. Abathar escaped and fled after David. And Abathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priests. And David said to Abathar, 'I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house. Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life. But with me thou shalt be in safeguard.'" David is taking responsibility here for the actions of how Saul had Doeg kill the priest, and Doeg killed all the people, men, women, children, and the elderly, and even all the animals who lived in the priest's city called Nob. David had gone to Nob to inquire of the Lord, to get the sword of Goliath, to get a weapon, and to get some food to eat for his men. And Saul was so jealous and so outraged and unhinged that he had all the priests, 85 of them, beginning with this Ahimelech, who was the chief priest, the high priest there, and he had them all killed, had them all executed. And it was such a tragic and a sad story. And so here's this son, Abathar, who escapes And he comes and tells David all the things that happened. Abathar escapes the sword of Doeg, and Abathar is the son of Ahimelech, who is that lead priest in Nob. Now, Abathar, his name means the Great One, and when they would write this in Hebrew, Great One would be capitalized, and that's how they would understand it. The Great One, speaking of God, is my father. That's what Abathar means. The Great One, God, is my father. What a beautiful name that is. That'd be a good name for us as Christians today. The Great One, God, is our father. Abathar becomes the spiritual advisor to David. And David's an outlaw still at this time. And several times over the next almost 40, almost 50 years, we find Abathar is a spiritual advisor to David. Now, we don't have priests today that are required in the scripture. Jesus is the great high priest. And in fact, the Bible says that Christians are priests of God. So individual Christians are priests themselves, with Jesus being the great high priest. The Bible tells us that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Now, David is very clear in the verses that we read. It's my fault. I will now take care of you. Abathar, it's my fault. He's taking responsibility. Whose fault was it? It was Saul's. Who was the killer, the executor? Well, that was Doeg. It was their problem. It was their sin. It was their wrong. And yet David said, you know, I went there for the sword and for some food and to inquire of the Lord and to have the priest pray for me. And so David said, it's my fault. Now I'll take care of you. I'll assume responsibility for your safety, because just like Saul is after me, now he is after you. And I don't know how you escape, but I'll take care of you now. And so he becomes a lifelong advisor, spiritual advisor to David. Now, Abathar does not blame David. He says, here's what happened. I'm here to help. What a great testimony that is for Abathar. Abathar does not get bitter with David, nor does he cast blame at David for the actions of King Saul and Doeg. In 1 Samuel 23, verse 6, it came to pass when Abathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. The ephod was something that the priests would use when they would take moments, special times, to pray specifically for people. And so he started to pray for David, and he started to serve David and to really be a spiritual advisor and priest. There's other passages that tell us, and he becomes a lifetime servant of David while he's serving the Lord. And so a friendship, in a way, a working relationship begins here with this terrible incident that takes place. So whatever your cause, you can let the effect be, I'll serve God. You may find yourself in a bad circumstance. This was a tragedy. He just lost all of his family. Everybody was wiped out except for him. And he let that cause be effective in the sense that he's going to continue to serve the Lord. And it brought him and David together, where now he is advising and helping and assisting David throughout his life. Now, three observations from this incident in Scripture. The first one is this. Sometimes we need to step up sooner than expected. Now, he was a priest. There was 85 of those priests, so he would be maybe, let's say, number 84, and his father is going to be number 1, or number 85, however you want to number. His father's number 1, he's number 2 or something. But his father was the lead priest, and he is executed. He's no longer alive to serve the Lord. Sometimes we need to step up sooner than expected. On sports teams, they call up players sometimes, maybe from junior high to go up to high school. I remember when I was playing baseball, I was in ninth grade, and they called me up to the senior high. So I played on the senior high school team. I remember pitching as a freshman in senior high baseball games. They called me up. And that's the expectation, that you would begin to be ready. And that's that happens in majors. They'll call up a minor leaguer, and there's different scenarios where that will take place. And so God calls us up to the next level. And it could be because of a bad situation that God will use to force us to grow up or to step up or to raise up and to do what He's called us to do, to grow up, to take a role, or to perform a job. Abiathar's father was dead, and now God is his father. Of course, his name means that God is my father. The Great One is my father. That's true for us as Christians. God is our father. Abiathar's service was needed. Our service is needed as well. Now, sometimes we protest serving God. Have you ever said, well, I'm not ready to serve God. I don't think I'm ready to serve God. God may have a position open or an opportunity open for you, not just to fill a position, but to fulfill a role in performing service to the Lord. I think someone else can do it. Have you ever said that before? Or, I'm not a good talker. Moses said that. I can't talk. I'm not a good speaker, so maybe someone else can. I'm too young. Have you ever thought that? Jeremiah thought that. I'm too young, just a teenager being called to serve the Lord. The project is too big for us. It's too big for us. This is too big of a task for us to do. That's what 10 of the 12 spies said when they were sent into the promised land to check it out. And so there's many times that we may object to when God is calling us up in our service to Him. Friends, with God's grace, we can step up even when we do not feel ready. Abiathar's father was dead, but his service was now required. He stepped up. He stepped up and began to, or continued to, serve the Lord. He fulfills a role that his father had been filling in previously. So sometimes we need to step up sooner than expected. Number two, spiritual battles continue today. This was a physical and a spiritual battle that David was engaged in. And Abiathar was a part of this as well. And Ahimelech had entered into this. He didn't know what was going on. And David's always been faithful. Saul, why do you want to kill him? And he said, I've always been trying to help him out. It was a spiritual battle that all these men were in. Even Doeg, in the evilness of his heart, the wickedness of his heart, there was a spiritual battle taking place. And we're in similar battles today. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. You're in a spiritual battle. Every day you make decisions that will affect the spiritual warfare that you're engaged in. If you're going to be with God's people on Sunday or not. If you are going to open your Bible and read it or not. If you're going to be praying and talking to the Lord and asking His guidance each day, and how should I make this decision, and what do you want me to do with this, and everything from finances to relationships to how we're serving the Lord, all of these things are spiritual battlefronts. We think of them as physical many times, but there is a spiritual component to every decision that you make. How you train your children, what your priorities are, what's most important in your life. These are all spiritual matters that are reflective in our daily life in physical ways. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down. I love this verse in counseling sessions. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Friends, we're to cast down imaginations that are against God. If you're dreaming up things that are against the Bible and against clear teaching in Scripture, then you need to have your mind captured, captivated by the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything that would direct your heart against the Lord and against God's principles for living, you want to have that captured and have your mind captured and bring your thoughts into obedience to Jesus Christ. Because we're in a spiritual battle. Now, just like David is responsible. That's a spiritual matter that is affected in the physical realm. And also, like Abathar here is very reliable. He says, "So I'm going to just help you out, David. I'll be there for you to be your spiritual advisor. I'll be with you since you're responsible for me now and going to be protecting me, like protective custody from Saul." So we need some Davids to be responsible leaders. I hope that you're a responsible leader. A responsible leader in your home, in your family, in your workplace, in your involvement in church and in spiritual things. We need some Abathars to be reliable helpers. And I believe that every Christian should be helping the gospel ministry in some way. You may not be publicly standing up and proclaiming, preaching, declaring, but every Christian should have a ministry in which they are supporting the gospel ministry through their local church. What ways are you serving? How are you helping? Are you a reliable helper? We need some Abathars to be reliable helpers. Many times I'll ask people, personally, can you help with this? Can you do this project? Can you work on this? Can you be here for that? And it's really sad sometimes, and it hurts my heart sometimes when people don't show up, when they don't come through, when they don't do what they claimed or said or promised that they would do. Now, I forgive them and everything. I don't mean it personally, like, oh, it hurt me like that. But I'm sad for them that they're not people of their word, that they cannot be trusted with tasks that God has given them the opportunity to perform. Sometimes they come through, other times they do not. Are you a reliable helper? Now, could someone talk to you about spiritual matters, spiritual advice, to find things that God said in the scripture? Some people will look to you and see your life different if you're living a holy Christian life and say to you one day, I wonder, what does God say about this, that, or the other, some other subject? Could you talk to them about that? Could you be a spiritual advisor to somebody? I hope so. We need some Abathars to be spiritual advisors, to be helpers in ministry. How do you arrange your schedule? Do you arrange it for Christian things, to do Christian things, like when Abathar brought the materials there that we read earlier to help David and to answer his question? He brought the ephod. He was going to bring the ephod to pray for David. I mean, could you be tasked with some spiritual matter and actually perform that in service to the Lord? Could you do that? Can people count on you to be a good teammate? We're teammates. We're part of God's family. We're part of this local body assembly. We're teammates. We're on the same team. Jesus is the captain of our faith. And can you be someone that is counted on, like Abathar, like David, in service? Are you a good teammate? You know, the Bible tells us, let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil, Matthew 5, verse 37. So can you just say yes and no and mean it and be reliable? Abathar was, David was. And so these are good examples for us. Sometimes we need to step up sooner than expected. Spiritual battles continue today. Your yes and no in service is part of the spiritual conflict that we find ourselves in. Am I going to say yes to King Jesus, or am I going to say yes to my flesh and the sinfulness of this world? And then number three, safety comes from the Lord. David said, I'll keep you safe. The one who is seeking my life, he's also seeking yours. So if you stay with me, then I will protect you. Isn't that something that we can think about today, that when we're walking with God, God will take care of us? Safety truly comes from the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Stay with me, Abathar. I will keep you safe. Saul wants to kill you. He wants to kill me. So let's stick together. You know, the world wanted to kill Jesus, and Jesus willingly laid down his life for us. And Jesus said, there's going to be people that hate you because they hated me as well. But when we stick with Jesus, he protects us and he takes care of us. And nothing outside the will of God can happen in your life. So we must trust him. We must trust him. with their swords, spears, battle plans, and other soldiers, David and Abiathar engage in battle. Spiritual warfare, but real battle as well. David engages in survival skills as he's running from King Saul, and eventually he becomes the king of Israel, and God places him in that position. But he still had his swords and his spears, and he still had his soldiers. So because we're living spiritual lives in a physical world, we still live in a physical world. And so it's okay to have some of those items and those things, but ultimately safety is from the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. So we'll have all of our plans in place, all of our safety teams in place, all the plans that we can have, but still we are trusting and relying on the Lord in the spiritual battles that we're encountered in, and really for our physical safety as well. You see, the will of God is the safest place to be. Are you performing the will of God? Are you living in God's will for your life right now? Sometimes people pull a Jonah and they run away from the will of God. There are some young people right now, probably not even watching this scatter session, and they're running away from the will of God. There are some others who are maybe watching right now, and your heart's kind of torn right now because of the spiritual conflict, this battle that we're in, and you're trying to make a decision. Are you going to run from God's will or find it and then fulfill it in your life? You see, doing what is right, following God's designs, that's the safest place you can be. Whether you're on the other side of this globe or across the street or wherever you go, wherever you're at, doing the will of God is the safest place. Now, with all the things that's happening in this world, it's easy to be discouraged, to look around and be distracted sometimes. I like how one person wrote, if you want to be distressed, look within. If you want to be defeated, look back. If you want to be distracted, look around. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. But if you want to be delivered, look up. Look up. Keep looking up to the Lord. Whatever your cause, whatever's happening in your life, let your effect be, I'm going to serve God, like Abiathar. I'm going to keep serving God, like David. Sometimes we need to step up sooner than expected. Sometimes spiritual battles, we'll see them all around us. They are still happening today. And we should all know that safety comes from the Lord. Please take some time to answer these discussion questions. Have some good conversation. Be a contributor. And then take some time to pray for one another. God bless.